Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian church, and an internet church, and we meet together on Sundays just like this in the love of God, in the unity of his spirit. Amen? And we are so happy that you are with us. Early in our celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ, we participate in Holy Communion. So we invite you and encourage you to join us. Just get your elements ready because shortly we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Amen. And we want to thank the Lord for his goodness toward us. And I want to thank everyone who fasted and who prayed for us, for the family yesterday as we funeralized my late aunt. I want to thank you for your encouragement and your support. You know, as the funeral procession was moving through down Fort Caroline Road, many people did what I thought people were too rude to do now. They stopped their cars in observance of the funeral procession. They honored a life, a saint of God, that had left this world and gone on to be with the Lord. You know, there are people who are too busy in their own pursuits to think about others and how others are feeling when they're in sorrow or grief. But I thank the Lord for every car that stopped and every head that bowed. It was such a blessing and such an encouragement that I wanted to thank the Lord publicly for that. It was encouraging and it was uplifting during a time of sorrow because we will truly miss her and there is no replacement for her. You see, when you have had someone that knows the Lord and that loves the Lord in your life, when they leave, you notice the difference. Amen? You can tell the difference because God used to shine through that light. And you would see that light. And it would lift you up in times when you were discouraged, you see. This is a woman who buried all of her children and her husband years before she left this life herself. She was a very strong woman of God. She was a school teacher. She was a mother and a grandmother, a sister, a friend, and a kingdom builder. Amen?
Amen.
She was a mother of the church and the church that she attended. So we want to thank the Lord for a holy life. Even though she liked John Legend songs, we want to thank the Lord for a holy life. Amen. She loved her husband. She had one husband for many, many years and remained married to him until his passing. Now, that was an achievement in and of itself because I knew the person. He was my uncle. So you see, saints, there are still people in our presence and in our midst who honor the Lord with their lives, with their everyday humble existence before him. And we should seek the Lord to be like that too. Amen? It's a grace from God. Amen?
Amen.
And now, Lord, we want to thank you for being God. We want to thank you and come before your throne and thank you for every soul that has touched our lives, that's made an impact. Because, Lord, you place those persons in our lives and in our midst for a reason. It was part of building us into the people of God that we are now. We want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you for your mercy and your kindness, Lord. And, Lord, we want to thank you for the armor of God. You've given us your protection, your very self, while we're here on this earth. We want to thank you that you've never left us nor forsaken us, but you're always here with us, not just a companion, but you're here to direct us, to guide us, to lead us, to show us how to reflect you in this life to others. When we came to you, Lord, we thought it was about us, just about us. But that's not so. It's about others as well, that they see you in us and allowing that to make a difference in their lives. We thank you for this awesome office and this wonderful responsibility, this ministry of reconciliation that you've given to us, Father. It's awesome. It's weighty. But you will teach us to grow in it, Lord, so that people will see our lives and tell others, I know that person. God lives in them. That's what we want, Lord. We want them to see you and to be drawn to you because of the lives that we live before them. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones, and we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, technology demons, all Leviathan, Kundalini, all water and marine spirits, all sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all hypnotic trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu practices, African witchcraft, European witchcraft, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we ask that you uncover it so that people can be set free, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind the sex trade worldwide in Jesus' name. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind anarchy and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirit, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, temptation to sin, and generational curses in Jesus' name. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Molech, Basilic, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, Mammon, and Apollyon in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you, Lord, will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, with the sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free from every ungodly silver cord, ley line, garland, attachment, covenant, agreement, pledge, vow, pact, league, and every other form of agreement with the demonic realm. We break the power and we bind up from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus the work of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, nanobot, shaman, sorcerer, and their counterparts in Jesus' name. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, love spells, charms, fetishes, all psychic witchcraft in Jesus' name, all sorcery, magic, voodoo, and mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchments, all wickedness done in dreams, death, destruction, sickness, pain, and torment in the name of Jesus Christ, incense and candle burnings, incantations, chanting, ungodly blessings, hoodoo, crystals, root works, and the circle of the coven. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ, and we send division into the enemy camp. We send confusion and division in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind everyone around the table in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind their works, and we chain their works with the eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. We strip them of power in the name of Jesus, and we transfer their power back to Jesus Christ, because all power belongs to God. We thank you, Lord, that the word declares that you judge and do punish those that work in witchcraft in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, in this evil day, that you judge and that you release your punishments as you see fit in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We bind all tribal rituals and sin and witchcraft, all ungodly dedications in the name of Jesus Christ. Every dedication to Satan, we break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, and sorcery in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power and your works, and your influence is destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. We paralyze you all now in the name of Jesus, and we release the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, over the true believers in Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we're praying for all sinners who regularly attend church but are resistant to the correction of the Lord, that they will choose to change in agreement with the covenant in Jesus' name. We're praying against Black Lives Matter as it presently exists, asking the Lord for correction and warning and his judgment concerning that group and its sponsors, binding its misrepresentation of black people and their beliefs in Jesus' name. We are praying for the discovery, grace, mercy, and victory of those who will participate in the upcoming fast. We thank you for the grace to fast, Father, in Jesus' name. We are praying for those who are supporting the work of the Lord in the land of the living, that they will become stronger and wiser than their opposition in Jesus' name. We're praying for the financial success, achievement, and promotion of those who are willing to follow the Lord wherever he leads, according to his will and purpose in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, now we've come to the time during the service where it's time for us to confess before the Lord those things that we've done that didn't please him. Amen? Amen. We're human. We have weaknesses. We have flaws. We have sin. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we've lied, and the truth is not in us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know every life. You know every person. You've known us since before eternity started. We want to thank you that you created time for us, Lord, because you live outside of time and are not subject to it. We thank you that you touch our lives in this season when we're here in the land of the living. We ask you, Lord, to bring your correction. We lift our hearts before you, and we ask you to judge our hearts, Lord. Judge our motives and our intent. Judge the things that we allow to appear one way outwardly, but they're quite different inwardly, Lord. Help us to be truthful in the inward parts, Lord. You desire that. Help us to honor you. Help us to truly love you and our fellow man, Lord. Lord, help us. We need grace for this. We're imperfect, and so is everyone else. But your love is here for all of us, if we but would receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask for your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. The Bible says, if we confess our faults, you're just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank you for the cleansing, Father. And we forsake our sins in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, if you'll take your elements, we will celebrate Holy Communion. Amen? Amen. It feels good to repent, doesn't it? It feels good to get the slate clean, that there's nothing standing between you and the Lord. Amen? It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. He'll make you clean on the inside, won't he? Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. We remember you, Lord. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's serious. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? What a blessing to be corrected on this side of the grave. Amen? Amen. What a blessing to be corrected on this side of the grave. You see, when we're corrected on this side, we can do something about it. We can do something about it. After we're gone, it went the way it went. So it's a blessing and a privilege to receive correction from the Lord while we're yet in the land of the living, and we can do something about it before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Because there isn't anybody that doesn't have to be corrected by the Lord. We're all human. We all do human things, and humans are prone to err. Amen? But God's grace is sufficient for us. His grace is sufficient. Again, I want to thank everyone who prayed for the family yesterday. It was such a blessing to feel the grace of God upon us as we went to bury our loved ones. It was a sweet feeling and presence of the Lord with the family on the way to the church, during the service, afterward at the grave site, and at the family gathering where a few of us got together and just loved on each other. Amen. It's a beautiful thing when a family can come together and love on one another. It's a shame we don't do it more often. Amen. Amen. But we are thankful for every opportunity that we get to see one another and meet new family members. I met a new family member because one of my cousins recently remarried, and that was a blessing. And there were other persons that I hadn't seen in a very long time. Even though they live right here in the city, I got to spend some time with them. So that was a blessing to me and to them as well. Plus, we got to eat some good food. Amen? Amen. That's a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. We got to eat some good food. And I didn't eat hardly any dessert at all. Aren't you proud of me? You should be proud of me. I'm proud of me.
Amen.
Amen. I stayed away from the pound cake. Amen. Amen. Well, today the Lord wants to talk to us. See, that's how I know you really prayed hard for me. I didn't go anywhere near the pound cake. There wasn't any. See, God was gracious. Amen. Now, God wants to talk to us about help your neighbor. Help your neighbor, that's right. Help your neighbor. And if you'll be so kind as to join me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Now, before I begin, let me say this. There's some people that think, well, that's just a baby sermon. That's not the truth. As you grow in the Lord, no matter where you are in your stage of growth and development, you need to be encouraged to continue to do the things that please the Lord. And sometimes we need a little refresher. You know, it's been a little while since we heard the Lord talk to us about this subject. But you know, you have to be a blessing to the people in the earth while you're here. You're not just here to learn how to bind demons. There's more to life than that. Yes, that's an important part, but there are other parts that are equally as important. And walking in the love of God with other people is essential to Christian living. Amen? They knew that they were Christians by their love. Amen? It's a signal to the world that you belong to the Lord when you consistently walk in love, especially under trials, under pressure, in tribulation, and in trouble. Amen? Amen. Difficult circumstances are supposed to bring the very best out of us, not necessarily others, but particularly out of us. So in Luke chapter 10, we see this very, very interesting subject. And the Lord was kind enough to see to it that it was in Scripture so we would all learn from it continually. Beginning with verse 25, Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25, Luke 10, 25. Amen. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, not just any average ambulance chasing lawyer, but a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, trying to tempt or try Jesus. Not such a bright idea. Saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, now that was a very profound question. That was a good question. We all need to want to know what we should do. You see, there's action, do, to inherit eternal life. So Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? What does the Bible say? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, your homework assignment. You know, I haven't given homework in quite a long time. So your homework assignment, I hope you have your paper and your ink pen or pencil or whatever you're using ready. You are to ask the Lord the following questions this week about yourself and receive an answer from the Lord. However he chooses to answer you, that's up to him. But you must ask him these questions about yourself, not about your spouse or your neighbor or your best friend, about you. Question number one. Lord, do I love you with all my heart? Question mark. Lord, do I love you with all my heart. Question number two. Lord, do I love you with all my soul? Lord, do I love you with all my soul? Question number three. Lord, do I love you with all my strength? Lord, do I love you with all my strength? Question number four. Excuse me. Lord, do I love you with all my mind? Lord, do I love you with all my mind? Next question. Lord, do I love my neighbor as myself? Lord, do I love my neighbor as myself? Last question. Lord, do I love myself according to the scripture? Lord, do I love myself according to the scriptures? Amen. So that's your homework for this week. You need to spend some time with the Lord getting answers to these questions. Amen. And he said unto him, to the lawyer, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself. He's trying to make himself look good because he knew he hadn't done what Jesus said to do, what the word said to do. Said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, because you see, you go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. You go up in elevation to go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And this certain man fell among thieves. And you see, the devil was busy in that process, which stripped him of his raiment. They took that man's clothes from him. That was downright nasty. They stripped him of his clothing and wounded him. They beat the man up and departed, leaving him half dead. That's assault and battery, I believe. That's a crime. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, one of the holy ones, you see. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He judged that situation as, well, whatever it was, he probably deserved that. And he just went right on his way. He didn't do anything to help the man. You see, God's talking about church people here. And likewise, a Levite who ministered before the Lord, who was in the holy place with the Lord. A Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. Okay, I can see he's in bad condition. And he passed by on the other side. He didn't want to get involved either. Church people. The pulpit and the pew. but a certain Samaritan. Say Samaritan. Samaritans were considered the offscoring. They were the people that were half-breeds, half-Jew and half-something. And they weren't received. Not only were they not in the loop, they weren't allowed anywhere near the loop. They were pushed aside. They received a lot of prejudice and judgment. While the Jews walked on with their haughtiness, because God knows us, he doesn't know you kind of attitude. They actually did walk in this holier-than-thou kind of thing. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It leads you to do something to help the person or the situation that you have compassion on. You see, compassion, Jesus was moved with compassion. It means that you move into action. You don't just feel something. You move into action to bring a remedy in the situation. He had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, not oil and grape juice, oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Poor man, he probably had one of those old little VWs that had been repurposed, and he managed to get the man in the back seat. Praise the Lord. And he brought him to an inn, to an inn. No, the man did not go to the Hilton. He went to whatever this man could afford and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. That was what he had. And gave them to the host, to the innkeeper, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You see, this man cared enough not just to look at the man that had been wounded, not just to say, well, let me see if I have something here that I can use to help you with, binding up the man's wounds. He didn't leave him there with that. He poured some emollient, something to heal. He poured in oil and wine. He cleansed the man's wounds, and he started to get them healed. He put them on his own beast. That means he had to walk, okay? He was walking. The man was on the beast. And he didn't just take him down the road and say, okay, I brought you this far. I'm going to lay you under this tree to see if you're going to be okay. No, he took him to an inn. A place where a man could get a good meal, a bath, someplace warm to sleep. He took him to a shelter, a place where the man could get cared for. And he took care of him while he was there. But he had to go on with his business where he was headed. So as he was leaving, he reached in his pocket and took out the money for the man. And he gave it to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Don't just, you know, walk past him every day and go, you still here? No, take care of him. And if you spend more than this, when I come back through, I'll give you the money. Now, he did everything that he could do for that man in that circumstance. Every single thing. Knowing that when he left, he had less money than he had when he came for his trip. And so Jesus goes to say to us, which now of these three thinkest thou, the churchgoer, the minister, or the Samaritan that nobody thinks well of anyway? Which one of the three was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. You see, mercy isn't just a nice feeling. It's not a warm fuzzy. In mercy, you do something to alleviate suffering. Whatever that is, even if it's just a smile, you do something to alleviate pain and suffering. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. So I have a question. Have you done this to the Lord's satisfaction in your own life where opportunities were presented to you? Have you behaved this way to the Lord's satisfaction? Ask yourself. You should have an answer, a ready answer for the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work in you, causing you to will, to desire, and also to perform his good pleasure. Isn't that a blessing, saint? I think so, because we need help to be willing to do the will of the Lord. We need help to perform the will of the Lord in our lives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. You see, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Amen? Amen. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, Jesus sent them out two by two. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And that's what Jesus wants to talk to us about today, helping others up. Amen? It's important. Sometimes, saints, it is encouragement to others. It is support to others to be available when there is a need or when a need is perceived. Sometimes just your very presence, showing that you care, that you're concerned, that you're willing to come to another person's support, is what's needed. Sometimes just the fact that you showed up shows people who you really are and what's really in your heart. So, are you available? Are you? Are you available if God wants to use you this way? Are you? You have to tell the Lord the answer to that. Are you willing to be available? You know, there's some people that all they're concerned about is what's going, the drama that's going on in their world. They never look around to see if they could be a blessing or a help to anyone else. But that's not the life of a Christian, not one that's been born of God. Tell me, do you brag about what you do for others? Is that how you are? after you do something, do you walk around beating your chest and say, well, I did such and such for so-and-so? You know, there's some people, if they ever do anything for you, they never let you forget it. You almost get to the point you wish they hadn't done it, except you really needed help. But that shouldn't be any Christian. Amen? Or do you quietly serve expecting nothing in return? You know, the greatest position in the body of Christ is the position of a servant. And Jesus Christ, all throughout his life, demonstrated the life of a servant, a humble servant. Saints, we should keep in our minds all of those situations where the Lord gave us the upper hand and success in our endeavor. When others are discouraged, do we use those memories to support others and to give them hope? Do we share any part of our testimony? Because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Do we ever share it? When others are weakened by tragedy or affliction, what do you do? What do you do? When that happens to someone you know, what do you do? Do you pray? Do you get involved when led by the Holy Spirit? You know, there's a difference in going to meddle and be nosy versus being led by the Holy Spirit to serve. What do you do? Or do you just keep to yourself? Do you ask the Lord to show you where you can be of help? Do you do that? Only you know, you and the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord has some words for us. And we will start in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. You know, all of this pandemic stuff has sent people scurrying into their own little lives. They were afraid to come out their houses and engage with other people for fear, you see. So they're still in their little cubby holes, not coming out, engaging and interacting in the lives of others as God desires for us to do in our communities and in society. See, they had plagues when Jesus was living. They had leprosy. But even the lepers had community in the leper colony. Yes, they were ostracized from the rest of society, but they at least had community and society in the leper colony. So verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord be upon you. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a good place to learn about our Heavenly Father. It says he's the Father of mercy. Mercy originates with our Heavenly Father. It's who he is. It should be in his children. And the God of all comfort. Comfort originates in our Heavenly Father. You see, we receive comfort, but do we ever share comfort? Who comforted us in all our tribulation. It doesn't say some of our tribulation. It says all. Every bit of it. I don't care how badly they cussed you out. Your Heavenly Father was right there with you when they did. That, it has a purpose, you see, that we may be able, have the ability have the strength, have the wherewithal to comfort them which are in any trouble. So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, he comforts us so that we understand and perceive and express the comfort which the Heavenly Father has given to us. When others are in trouble, how? With the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, God pours his mercy, his compassion, his comfort into us, and we are to share it with others. That's what the Christian does. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. We have sufferings because we're Christians, but those same sufferings bring consolation that we pass on to others. We receive, we partake, and we share. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You see, he was talking about the ministers in particular. We're going to be afflicted in particular. Why? Because it's to everyone else's consolation and salvation, not just our own, because we're examples to the flock, which is effectual. It brings about the God kind of result that God is looking for. In the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. You see, we don't sit here with no suffering in our lives. We partake of the same sufferings as everyone else, even more so. Our sufferings go to different levels. Different levels of trouble and tribulation and persecution. Full-blown demonic attacks. Don't ever think that you're the only one the devil's picking on. No. If you're in the ministry, you have been picked out to be picked on. And you will suffer. Why? Jesus suffered. The saints have to understand that we overcome in sufferings too. You can't become like Jesus if you don't partake of the same suffering that he partook of. You say you want to be like the Lord, but you want everything to be breezy and smooth, no ripples in your pond. Well, my love, it's not that way. Jesus suffered. He was persecuted. He was rejected. He was despised. And just as certainly as he was, so will we be. We need to have the mindset that says suffering is a part of my Christian experience. But I'm supposed to display God's truth, his strength, his power, his glory as I go through trouble and suffering. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers, participants of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Yes, you're going to go through suffering, but you're going to be consoled by the Godhead. So when you tell your testimony to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to whomever will listen, yes, I went through this great trouble, but God brought me through. That was one of the testimonies of my aunt. She buried all of her three children in her lifetime and her spouse. But she kept going to 89. That takes a lot to bury all of your children. when we went to the funeral home to make arrangements, I remember for one of the funerals, she's saying, all I'm going to know is that when I sit there, my children are going to be under my feet. That's serious. When you bury all of your adult children, that's not a light thing. That's not easy to go through. That's one of the most difficult things that can happen to a person, is to lose their child, especially if the child has become an adult. But you see, with Jesus Christ, you can overcome even in that situation. Yeah. Amen? So, our Heavenly Father is the very source of all mercy. He pours into us his comfort, peace, assurance, and strength in our difficulties, hardships, troubles, trials, suffering, and pain. When we are rejected and neglected, our Heavenly Father is with us to support us. You see, my aunt also got to see the remainder of her siblings go on before she did. Not only did she lose her children, her spouse, she lost her siblings and some of her closest friends. But you see, Jesus Christ comes through you then. Other people see you walking through obvious pain and suffering, but they get to see how you do. They get to see Jesus in you when you're in sorrow and grief. You see, we don't sorrow as others do. We have a hope, knowing that after this life, we will see them again. The world does not have that hope. We don't grieve as others grieve. We know this is not the end. This is parting for the time. It's not the end. The day will come that if they went to be with the Lord and we go to be with the Lord, that we'll be reunited with them. But the world has no such hope. You see, once we have received of our Father's loving compassion, we are called to attend to others who are in need of our sympathy and faithful encouragement. We are to pass on to others the very same hope, understanding, and compassion that our Heavenly Father has blessed us with. Our Father always gives more than enough so that we can share our overflow with others. We can know of a certainty that when we go through the fiery trials of life, the more that we experience suffering for the name of Jesus, the more that our Father will enwrap us in his comfort and encouragement. Our Heavenly Father loves us, you see. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means we come alongside to be a shoulder to lean on, a helping hand, an encouraging word. We come alongside to be what is needed because of the love of God, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of the kingdom of God. That's what believers do. We should be willing in our hearts and ready in our minds to do what God calls us to do when our neighbor has troubles and problems. In this, we obey his command to us. If we see ourselves as too busy or too important to humble ourselves in this matter, we deceive ourselves and we may even be ignoring or overlooking one who is ready to give their lives to the Lord. That's serious. You're so wrapped up in you that somebody's hurting, but you don't notice because you're wrapped up in you. Jesus was never that way. He was always reaching out to someone. And as a result of him reaching out to someone, miracles and healings and deliverances occurred. If he had stayed to himself, where would those people be? The funeral procession that he came across, and he raised the mother's son back to life. What would her life have been like had that not happened? The woman that had the issue of blood, and she reached for his garment and virtue flowed out of him. What would have happened to her had that event not taken place? You see, you have to look at it from that perspective. What happens if I don't do what the Lord wants me to do? What happens then? And then at the end of my life, I stand before the Lord as if I haven't ever done anything wrong, and he looks at me and says, really? What about when I sent you across the street? I spent all day trying to get you just to cross the street to talk to that lady that you don't know. She was about to die. She needed to be led into the kingdom. All I needed you to do was to pray with her. What about that? But you see, she's in hell because you wouldn't cross the street. What about that? Folks, let's make this practical, okay? When you are in the store and the Lord prompts you to be helpful to someone, do it. Don't sit there and look in your wallet and say, you know, I only brought 10 extra dollars. And I was going to use that to put gas in the car. No, just do what the Lord would have you to do. There is nothing going on in your life that gives you the right to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. There is nothing going on in your life that gives you the right to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Everyone was not raised in a family of givers, you see. However, you are now in the family of God. You have a new family. Give, share, help, support, encourage. Learn to do this to please the Lord, not to make a reputation among people. Love because the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Self-centeredness is not of God. The Lord Jesus never acted that way, and neither should you. All of life is not centered around you, so there is no reason to pretend that it is. Amen? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are called to comfort the feeble-minded. We are called to support the weak. We are called to be patient toward all men. Even if you call a business on the phone and the whoever answered the phone doesn't have the foggiest notion how to help you, they're not so happy to help you, be patient. People are not necessarily in their right minds these days. Amen. Be patient. Before you get on the phone to make the call, just pray first. Bind the demons. Bind the demons provoking you and irritating you. You have to do it now because these people seemingly, even though they're in customer service, they don't realize that they're there to service the customer. Neither do they realize that they should be gracious and thoughtful and considerate. And that when they do something wrong, they should actually apologize rather than being defensive. They don't have manners anymore. It's not like it was when I grew up, when people will say, well, darling, just forgive me. It was the head and not the heart. No, they don't do that now. Now they get all nasty with you. Well, we don't have to do that part if we don't want to. Try to stay calm. Just plead the blood about right then. You're going to need to. I'm telling you now, just have the blood on your lips because they're going to annoy you. Just plead the blood until it passes, and then you proceed in grace. Amen? Yes, saints, all of us are called to accomplish these objectives in our daily lives. We're supposed to comfort the feeble-minded. We're supposed to support the weak. We're supposed to be patient toward all men. You see, Brother Marshall is a wonderful example of this very thing. When his mother-in-law was still with us, he lived almost at her beck and call. He saw to her needs. He ran over to her house whenever a need arose. He often prayed for her, listened to her, comforted her, cared for her physical necessities. He executed in his daily living this scripture. Amen? He executed in his daily living this scripture. There are those of us who have members of our own families that need our help. Others are acquainted with neighbors or coworkers or members of the family of God who need our support. Often, the Lord has already dealt with us concerning this, but we allow life circumstances to keep us from fully obeying the Lord. We say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it, and never get it done. That's called disobedience. Amen? It's called disobedience. Don't just fight the devil, saints. Love the people that God has created. Amen? We should not be petty and narrow-minded, judgmental, or making way too much of what others do or don't do. Now, if you know that your neighbor gets irritated when you do a certain thing, even though there is actually nothing sinful or wrong about what you are doing, try to be more considerate about it all. You see, if your neighbor lives in the same house with you and they refuse to wash the dishes, but it gets on your last nerve, what is keeping you from washing the dishes and being pleasant about it? What's holding you back? Instead of getting all in a huff, I've had this for the last time, and taking the dishes, marching into their bedroom, and putting them on their bed, Wouldn't it be more Christ-like for you to just humble yourself, start the dishwasher, or put them in the sink, and in the love of God, without criticizing, snipping at people, making smart remarks, or being a smart aleck, wouldn't it be nice to just wash the dishes, rinse them, dry them, put them away, and love the way Jesus does? You see, if the trash being everywhere gets on your nerves, maybe the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do it. In fact, if you're the head of household or think that you are, it's actually your responsibility. Why? Because leadership serves. Jesus clearly explained that in the scriptures, that leadership doesn't sit there on a pinnacle and say, you do this, you do this, and you do that. No, leadership takes the humble position, the low position, and leadership serves everyone. That's God's kind of leadership. He shows it at the Last Supper when he washed the feet of the disciples. He's going to do it again when we get home. That's his kind of leadership. Leadership serves everyone. It's not sitting there with its nose in the air going, I am. No. It puts a towel around its waist, and it gets down on its hands and knees, and it ministers to everybody else. That's God's kind of leadership. Leadership is the ministry of health. It helps everyone. Amen? Amen. So, saints, we should try to be more considerate about these things. Ask the Holy Spirit how to handle that situation in the love of God. We don't flaunt our faith in the face of others. We allow God to use our faith to show others the way to him, to encourage them, even to teach them. You know, there are these people that are called do-gooders. That's their thing. They run around trying to help everyone. Well, I'm not asking you, and God's not calling you to be a do-gooder. He wants you to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do good, do it. Do it as unto the Lord. We are not called to hurt others deliberately in our exercise of faith. We are not. Weak plants need support, not uprooting. Weak plants, you know, they're barely making it when the sun comes up, and they're still leaning a little to the side. They need those supports put around them. They don't need to be uprooted. Sometimes we're called to be the support, God's support. You see, people have heard about God, but he's invisible to them. And so we flesh out the character and nature of God in this life so others can see God. They heard about Jesus in the Bible, but he's not down here. Oh, yes, he is. He's in us. And they have to see Jesus in us to be drawn to him. That's our mission. That's our call. We need to remember how long the Lord had to be patient with us to get us to even where we are now. That's a long lot of long suffering, a lot of patience, a lot of forgiving. Well, it's been shown to you. Share it with others. So we must put up with some things that we would rather not. Certainly the Lord has put up and is putting up with things in us that he would rather not. Seeing as we are receiving this grace, let us share it also. He gives us so much that we do have overflow. Share the overflow. We're overflowing in the love and grace of God. So let us share the love and grace of God. Saints, let us gracefully comfort, support, uphold, encourage, strengthen, and direct the persons whom the Holy Spirit leads us to help with the Father's compassion and mercy. In this, the Lord will be well pleased. Amen. Now, saints, I want to remind you of your homework. If you missed the questions, I believe they're in the MIC radio chat room for you to find them. Also, I want to remind you of the upcoming fast. The dates have been placed in the chat room. You know that as far as the dietary part, all we are partaking of for those 4 days, I believe it's May 2nd we start. We start on May 4th. It's on a Tuesday. To the 7th. Thank you. It's posted in the chat room. Amen? And thank you. That was kind, Brother Bill. Thank you, Assistant Pastor Brother Bill Prinkle. Amen. Amen. Whom we love and are grateful for. Amen. Amen. I was corrected because I'm not looking at a calendar. It's May 4th through the 7th, beginning at 12:01 a.m. on the 4th, all the way continually through midnight on the 7th. We are believing the Lord to heal us. We gave those scriptures on Friday night and Wednesday. We're believing the Lord to heal us. Now, don't sit there, saints, and come up with 50 things you need to be healed of and expect you're going to see all 50 on this fast. Let's be reasonable. Let's use our faith in a targeted way. Let's have one or two things that we're believing the Lord to heal during the fast. Amen? And let's focus our prayers, our scripture studies, our time with the Lord in this effort, in this way. Amen? The Lord is wanting to move this way, so let us move with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, don't forget your homework assignment. It's very important. Amen? Rise for the benediction. Again, I want to thank the Lord for everyone thank you, Lord. I want to thank the Lord for everyone who prayed for me and for my family during our season of bereavement. Father, I want you to bless those persons that came to our aid and assistance. And I release to them the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for safe return to home for those who traveled from a distance. And that everyone will stay connected and encouraged in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You die.